We're always giving you a special edition of Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Today, Dr. Alan Palmer, and we've known for, God, it's been several years, and we were introduced to him by one of our listeners and readers on Freedom's Phoenix that definitely wanted to make sure that we included them in our Vaccine Education Summit of 19. Now, our first one we did in the fall of 16, we been activist on this vaccine thing since 09, certainly. And we started the category Vaccines and Vaccinations on Freedom's Phoenix back in 09 during the H1N1 thing. It was clear that certainly with the Obama administration, they tried. They're, a lot of times it's just trial balloons or it's kind of, get it started and see where the weak links are and how they can, and they get it perfected and then boom, they bring it on. Well, they brought it on. In 19, we knew it was time to do another Vaccine Education Summit. Dr. Judy Mikovits and Del Bigtree and many others, Wayne Rhodes, James Lyons Weiler. We had Kent Hackenlively years before. We just interviewed him again. And Dr. Alan Palmer was suggested. It was a great presentation. That kind of launched him. He went from that. Oh, no, he'd be infamous now. And what it was is he had done, studies. There's no studies. I think there might be some studies. Well, he had an ebook and a book and a pamphlet and, all kinds of stuff on 1,200 studies, which by the time that gets published, it's a billion studies. But it is, he gave this presentation at the Vaccine Education Summit and the video went viral. All this stuff is very popular on Freedom's Phoenix or vaccineeducationsummit.com. You can look there and you'll see it. Now, Dr. Palmer is, at the time, he was very clandestine about, his clients and what he did and so on. And, I got a day job, man. I want to keep my day job. So, but now he's, sold his business, semi-retired and focused on this. So I'm going to let him introduce himself and what his background is. And then we're going to get into some of these studies and things that, today's dispatch of Freedom's Phoenix, we really focused on a bunch of stuff that I'm sure we're going to talk about. Dr. Palmer, please introduce yourself and the things that you're willing to tell us now. We'll talk about your book and such. Please go.
Well, good morning, Ernie and everybody. I'm just happy to be here. Thank you for having me. So I'm a chiropractic physician. I have been for 35 years. My background is sports and nutrition and functional medicine, all those kinds of things. So I incorporated a lot of that into my practice. But I've always been very much freedom of choice when it comes to medical procedures. And in fact, when I would have parents come to me and ask whether I thought their children should get vaccines, I said, well, that's up to you, but here's some studies I've gathered. Here's some books. I had a lending library. I would let them check out the books and check out the studies. And then I said, go to your child's pediatrician and ask them for the same thing and have them provide you with the evidence that what they say is true and factual, and then just make a decision as to what you believe is in the best interest of your child. And so that's the way I've always been, and that's the way I am today. That's my full beliefs today, that people should have full informed consent, not just one side of the equation. And so over the course of years, I worked with four different professional teams and on a local level here. And, so spent over 20 years with a couple of those teams. But then I had a back injury in 2012 that eventually forced the sale of my practice. I just couldn't maintain the level of adjusting and things like that that was required to keep my business going.
Well, especially on big, giant, 6'8" pound linebacker kind of whatever. While we're on that, your professional sports teams, the one thing I haven't asked you before, I wanted to get in. What's their opinion on the vaccine? There's a heavy press for these professional teams to be 100% vaccinated. And you got some big guys like Tom Brady or something, bite me. I ain't doing it. Fire me. I don't care. And I'm wondering, are they informed? Do they feel pressured? Or they don't care? What kind of coercion is there to these, guys making gazillions of dollars?
Well, there's an awful lot of that going on. In fact, my daughter is married to an aspiring baseball player. He's been working his way through the minor league and independent ball systems, trying to make it to the majors. And she's connected with a Facebook group of 150, I believe, about 150 wives of professional baseball players. And there's a lot of players who really don't feel that they need the vaccine. They don't want the vaccine. They feel it's still experimental, even though it's been approved now, quote unquote, approved. We can talk about that. And so there is a percentage on every team that really has resisted getting the vaccine. So a lot of them have had to go through mandatory testing regularly and so forth. And they're ostracized. They basically have to wear masks in the dugout or masks everywhere they're around the other players. But what's interesting is when you look at, as time has gone on now with the vaccines, and the vaccine is waning, and the vaccine pressure, the fact that we're vaccinating so many people in the middle of a pandemic with a leaky vaccine, which means the vaccine does not stop you from getting infected and it doesn't stop transmission. So it's what scientists call a leaky vaccine. We're doing that in the middle of a pandemic. We're forcing the virus to mutate against what that vaccine has in it, which is the spike protein. So now there are numerous mutations along that spike protein now in the Delta virus. And so the vaccine is failing miserably. If you look at countries that are just ahead of the United States, like Israel and Great Britain, especially with the Delta variant that arrived there first, and their vaccination programs launched much quicker in those countries, the vaccine efficacy, even the efficacy that they were touting as 94-95% efficacious here, is dropped to, in Israel, as of about 6 weeks ago, it was down to 39%. And so we're seeing, we're seeing on these major league teams, we're seeing players who are fully vaccinated, just like we're seeing all over, getting COVID and failing the test, getting COVID. They have the ability to spread it to other people. So when you see what a miserable failure this vaccine has become, it's incredible how we're still promoting these mandates, because logistically and scientifically, people who are fully vaccinated can get it just as easily and spread it to other people just as easily. So, there's some other kind of agenda going on. But with regard, to pro ball, there are some players that are really standing up and pushing back against it. Of course, it's difficult, because I've heard stories from some of these wives and through this Facebook group, that if you're in the minor leagues, you're basically being told now, don't plan on being called up to the majors unless you're vaccinated. My son-in-law, it's affected him, with his career now and everything. So there is definitely a major bias and prejudice going on against the players who are not fully vaccinated in sport.
Yeah, bat 525, you'll get pulled up. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's like it's an overall consideration for everything in large industries, certainly ones. This is what I found when we first started going around the country. A lot of states didn't give a crap. You walk in wherever, and my wife and I, we just never masked up and just played stupid and just walked in and whatever, and usually just leave you alone. But it was anybody that has a permit or regulation or anything to do with the government, certainly the federal government, like telecommunications or that was the one that really hit me the most. You couldn't go into a phone company, a Verizon, T-Mobile, Sprint, whatever, without, oh my God, I'm going, tell me you take these masks off when we leave. Go to these young guys. I mean, seriously, you're not breathing this all day, are you? And he goes, camera, 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 camera. And they freaking call. They're watching. And I'm like, wow, this is bad. Then, of course, in the medical industry. So anyone that has any kind of tie with the government, certainly the federal government, they're using that as a mechanism to get compliance. And so then you have the airlines, you have, transportation, and we're on the bus, traveling the country, and they haven't got to the road yet, but that's, got solar out and we just pull over and, sit here and we're just going to camp and you have to bust in. We'll see how you can, bust in the door. This has been a surreal. And when it was April, I think it was, we were bringing the bus back from Maine and New Hampshire. We were working on it. We're getting ready to start the trip in May of 2020. When we were driving back, a friend of mine and I, Derek, a good friend, was helping me work on it. We were coming back. It was 18 wheelers and us. We saw, I don't know, maybe a couple of dozen, you know, cars that was, you know, just, not cars on the road the whole trip. It was like watching a sci-fi movie, 28 days later kind of thing. And yeah. I'm going, are people that stupid? Are they that? Well, I think they play on our compassion and our empathy and love. We don't want to kill grandma and we'll give you a couple of weeks. And just a couple of weeks. Everybody's going to take a vacation. You know, just take a couple of weeks. Get the family in a couple of weeks. Well, once they saw that they got that compliance, boom, here it went. And I'm wondering your experience during that time into now with the research that you're doing and all the studies and everything that you've got. At what point do you start to realize that it wasn't really a legitimate concern that they were targeting, they were testing, they were controlling? There's an agenda. There's something going on. What triggered you, even though you've done a lot of these studies and published this stuff before, what was it you go, yeah, I think something's rotten in Denmark here, you know, early on?
Very early, Ernie. In fact, back in March to early April, I started looking at some of the data coming out, especially we all remember Italy, you know, talking about all the people that were dying in Italy before it really hit us hard here. And I started looking at the data from the Italy equivalent of the CDC of Italy. And we were looking at that, and about 90% of those people were over 80 years old and had four or more comorbidities. And I'm going, okay, wait a minute. All right. This doesn't really appear to be affecting young people very much at all. So that's interesting, right? So then I continued to look at the data coming in from around the world, and the same pattern was emerging. You know, this really impacted very elderly people who had weakened immune systems or other kinds of immunocompromised individuals or obese people with obesity and hypertension and diabetes, et cetera. And so I actually started doing a newsletter in May of 2020, and I've just released my 17th edition. I do a monthly newsletter, and that's exactly what I do is I look at the science, I look at the data, I look at interviews of some of the top epidemiologists and virologists and researchers and infectious disease experts from around the world. And I put that all in my newsletter. Anything really that is credible is evidence-based and has the scientific backing for me to really believe that this is true, I put in that newsletter. And I'm trying to just give people a counter to the mainstream media's, you know, endless fear-mongering propaganda. I mean, literally the public has been terrorized since day one through the media. And yeah, there's little bits of truth in some of the things that they do. That's true. But they don't tell you the whole truth, and they certainly don't tell you the other side of things. And so from the lockdowns or whatever it is, there is really no credible science to show that that any of those have been effective in reducing mortality.
No, they have an agenda. They're pushing something. You know, what do you think? I mean, you sit there watching this, you're looking, you're going, okay, well, that might be a little bit of a kernel of a thread of, you know, accurate to promote this BS that they're trying to. What is the agenda, do you think? I mean, what are you seeing as you look at these studies, you know, the data, and you're going, they're skewing it to something. What?
Well, I think there's different compartments to that in my mind. In my 1200 studies ebook, which now has over 1500 studies and is about 1000 pages long, it's a PDF that you can search. It's all searchable and everything. But in there, I really tell the story and show how the CDC and the FDA have been corrupted by industry for decades. And examples of people that had these high level positions with those health agencies, public health agencies, that then get very lucrative jobs with pharmaceutical companies when they leave there. And then people from the pharmaceutical companies that get jobs in our health agencies. And you really realize that these are not unbiased health agencies. They're not just there to look out for the public's interest. Scott Gottlieb, in fact, who was our most recent FDA commissioner, now sits on the board of Pfizer and makes over $300,000 a year on the board of Pfizer, along with some other companies that have profited greatly from the COVID-19 pandemic with regard to testing and other things too. And he's still out there in the media every weekend on the news shows and all the time being interviewed about his belief in the Pfizer vaccine and how everyone should be vaccinated and we should expand our testing and everything. And here's a guy that's just full of conflicts of interest. And he's out there promoting and basically taught as a talking head for what the government wants done. And he's on the board of Pfizer. So this is just an example of the incestuous relationship. It's like a revolving door. And so, yeah, so when you ask, I think there's that component. There's a component of our government being, you know, married to industry to in many ways, you know, coal, you know, oil industry, whatever it might be. But in pharma, it's a very powerful industry and they have a lot of influence over government. I also think when you look at the reaction by world leaders, especially a lot of the leaders that belong to the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, you can see, interestingly, Del Bigtree. I watch The High Wire every week. Del Bigtree is a former CBS producer of the daytime show The Doctors. He won an Emmy Award there. Now, every week on Thursday at thehighwire.com, he does this show. But he showed screen captures and video interviews of all these different leaders, from Merkel in Germany to Johnson in the UK, all these different leaders. And on their podium, all their podiums said, build back better. And I noticed that Biden had that during his campaign too, build back better. So this seems to be a globalist, I would call it an agenda, I guess, to try to use this pandemic, whether it was created by these people and then they've capitalized on it, or whether they have just become, they just took advantage of the situation and capitalized on it. I think remains to be seen to some degree, but I do believe there is a globalist movement or push for control of the population with some very nefarious tracing and tracking and biometrics type of things that they want to do to eventually control movements, control populations' behavior, and so forth.
Why?
Power, control, money. I always say follow the money trail. You know, it's interesting. And even in my ebook and in my newsletter, many of these things, when you start looking at the money trail, it's pretty easy to expose a lot of these ulterior motives. So I think that's and when you look at the World Economic Forum, they meet in Davos regularly, Davos, Switzerland. When you look at their presentation, their video that, again, Dell played this whole video on one of his shows. They have things like in the future, this voice that sort of surreally kind of says and calmly says, in the future, you will own nothing. You will rent everything and you will like it and things like that. And I'm going, wait, who are we renting from? You know, we can't own our own property. We can't own anything, but who are we renting from? So, and that's part of their mission statement. So they're not even hiding it. So, you know that there's a lot of that influence going on with all of this, Ernie.
Yeah, no, you're gonna like it.
Yeah, and you're gonna like it.
You like it or not, you know.
That isn't subliminal messaging. I don't know what is.
This has been the resistance, the elimination of the cognitive dissidence. That where you go, well, maybe they're, you know, it's getting to the point to where people are going, yep, this is it. And I'm with you, brother. I mean, I was willing to give them a couple of weeks. I give you an example. What we did when this all first started, we were working on the Love Bus and the freaking snow and ice, and I'm not wanting to get sick. I mean, you know, so I'm all bundled up underneath the bus in Maine, you know, in New Hampshire, getting it all ready. And if you prepped, I'm an Arizona boy, man. So I'm wrapped up, you know, the homie's not getting cold, but you know, I had, colloidal silver and I would just, you know, an atomizer and spray it in kind of that while everybody else is getting sick of just regular, whatever, you know, I'm good, you know, and we have Dr. Mikovits on every week for 6 years. So I talking about what to do there. Well, see, it was him and, James Lyons-Weiler. All right. Well, make sure you take selenium or something like that, and then we added and chaga mushrooms, you know, so the transcriptase thing didn't take. So, you know, I said, all right, so I took it serious. I go, all right, let's do some preventative stuff. And then we gotta go, if I go to the hospital, what are they going to do for me? They're going, oh, they got to get you on oxygen. Whatever. I don't want to be ventilated. You know, screw that. It'll kill people. So I just go in, all right, well, I'll go buy a, you know, $300 oxygen generator, you know, which so happens Donna has out in the car now, taking it to a doctor friend of us, ours, that her clinic, one of the doctors got it, and everybody got sick from her taking the shot and having the Delta, whatever the hell. They're sick. So she's like, you don't want to go to the hospital, but they need a little extra. You got that oxygen generator you're talking about. Yeah, you know, so Donna will take that over. They'll have that. Got a little oxygen sensor, you know, for your saturation. Mm-hmm. And that was all we did. I said, I'm not like totally going to blow it off, but, you know, I'll get prepared and buy it now while everything's cheap, you know, and available. And then I won't worry about it. I did my thing and we're good. Then ivermectin came, you know, on the scene. This last June, there was a big freedom-oriented, you know, Porcupine Freedom Festival in New England that we go to every year for the past 13 years. And last year, last summer, everybody went, screw them. And we, you know, had a good time and nobody masked up, nobody cared and so on. And we were fine. This year, after that, and the Fork Fest, another festival right after that in the same place, people are going, man, I just don't feel right. You know, like this mind fog kind of thing, lethargy, just kind of, I mean, you weren't sick, but you weren't at 100%. And this became obvious that a lot of people, something or someone or somebody did something, you know, and everybody's feeling the same symptoms. What they did is a lot of the guys there are rural, and they said, ivermectin's $5.99 at Tractor Supply. Okay. So, you know, Donna calls them. We're in Maine. They go, yeah. $5.99. Well, I want four of them. We'll deliver it, you know? So it was like $30 or something. We had four, with the delivery charge, it was delivered right to the bus. So go, cool. So some of the guys there, they were not feeling great. And Dr. Judy gave us a dosage, you know, per kilogram, like 0.25 milligrams per kilogram, something like that. And don't take it. I'm not a doctor, you know. Yeah. I did. Okay. So a lot of us that were kind of feeling peaked, we do doses over a few days. Boom, immediately it went away. And a lot of people had this experience. So we're going, okay, because it had no side effect and it's on who's, every doctor's got a have list of whatever. And that's at the top of Freeman's Phoenix right now. I want to show this because I watched this and it was, and we have been talking to different doctors and on, and why is this such a big deal? The story of ivermectin. Okay, Nobel Prize winner, used by millions, minimal if any side effects. Patients have, you know, patents have run out, so it's very cheap and confirmed effective treatment for. And interestingly, it was scientists in Australia this last spring that did the research, and they go, "Hey, man, this is working." You know, do you got any charts or research on, you know, how effective this is? Ivermectin cross your radar?
Yeah, I do. Let me share my screen with you here in a second. I'll show you. It's there's a website called, and if you want to write this down, it's C19. So for COVID-19, C19 early, EARLY, C19early.com. When you go to that website, it will show you all the different types of medications and supplements and the worldwide studies that have been done on these different medications and supplements. So basically you go to that site at the top, you just hover your cursor over the COVID-19 treatment studies and click on the ivermectin. And let me share this screen with you here, if I can figure this out here. Okay, so if you look at, here we go. All right. So if you look at this chart here, this looks at all the different studies. And so far, according to this database, there's been 63 ivermectin controlled studies, 31 of them being randomized controlled studies, which is considered the gold standard, 69% improvement overall for early treatment. And so this graph basically shows all the studies, and the green bars indicate the percentage of success. The red bars are the studies that basically tanked or failed. So just taking one glance at that, you can kind of see that, you know, these studies show pretty good efficacy with COVID-19. Yet our government says, well, there really haven't been any studies. You know, there haven't been any studies that shows its benefit. So along the bottom of this graph, where you see my cursor here, there shows a continuum. When you get to this point here, for all of those to be positive as compared to these negative, for that many studies to be positive, that would be one in a million. That was as of December 19th. Now, as of August 11th last month, for all these to be show this rate of success, the to be chance, it would be one in a trillion to be chance. So, and when you scroll down here, you can essentially look at these studies and the dates that the studies were published, and you can just look at some of the benefits of these different analysis, like this one here, reduced death by 85.9%. It just goes on and on. So this is a good resource for people. So,
well, even the red ones here, I wanted to drill in on the red ones and find out what Merck Pfizer study was. You know what I mean?
And you know, that's one of the things that I've done in my research. I look at the potential conflicts of interest. You know, when the authors have to disclose their conflicts of interest, sometimes, you know, they go, no one's going to click on that. Well, you do. And you look at, oh, so-and-so, you know, is a consultant for Merck or one of the other drug companies. And you look at the authors of the studies, and oftentimes they do have major conflicts of interest. So, you know, I think it's important that people consider that when they're considering, you know, the efficacy. So here's just a nice little graphic here too. 63 trials, 623 scientists, over 26,000 patients. So again, this just kind of shows a summary of the success with ivermectin. And really, Dr. Pierre Corey, who's a internal, actually he's an emergency medicine physician, him and Dr. Paul Merrick from the Virginia School of Medicine. Dr. Merrick is one of the most published physicians. I believe he's published or been an author on over 500 different scientific papers. Dr. Merrick and Dr. Corey are the ones that started the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance. So again, if you want to go to flccc.net, flcharliecharliecharlie.net, you will see a ton of evidence. These men and their cohorts have been working day and night for months trying to raise the awareness of the benefits of ivermectin. In fact, Dr. Corey testified in front of Congress, a congressional committee last November, and was just pleading with them to take a look at this because all of the doctors that were using this were getting absolutely incredible results. But one thing that's really key is this is really geared, like hydroxychloroquine with zinc, it's really geared towards early treatment. They're even seeing results with later treatment with some people, but if you give people those medications on early treatment, many of the studies show that we could have presented or prevented somewhere between 85 and 90% of the hospitalizations by allowing clinics and doctors to prescribe these as early treatment. Now, think of the impact that that would have had on the eventual outcome of this. But of course, and one thing it's so critical to remember, and I really believe that's the underlying motivation for suppressing these medications, is in order to get an emergency use authorization for their vaccines, there could not be an effective treatment. So in other words, effective treatment, you can't go through with the EUA on the vaccines. So what other reason could there possibly be except protecting farmers' interests?
Yeah, because, no, this is a money thing. You know, the one thing you find out, you got the military industrial complex and how much gazillions of dollars they're leeching off everybody. And in comparison, you know, you look at, okay, well, what about the energy, you know, and so on. And then it gets to pharma. You know, pharma is what, number one, is that last time I looked. And I'm going, why? You know, how the hell did that happen? You know, so this is, it's clear to me, and it was, and I'm with you, brother. You know, back in March, you know, the Ides of March, I remember I'm going, yeah, I'm calling a hoax on this thing. And I, you know, didn't totally ignore it. You know, we'll see what's up. And my first inclination was not that there was really a problem that was natural, that I was fearful that this was the trigger pull of they, them, those were coming after us, you know. Well, it's more that than not, you know. So this is, I'm going, yeah, they're pulling the trigger. And I think the reason was is because they were losing the populace. They were losing our attention in watching television. They were losing our attention, and everybody watches this or does that or pays attention to whatever. We were fragmented in our attention, and I don't care how woke you went on every freaking channel of anything, people were just, yeah, I'm good, man. Okay, Spider-Man's minority and gay now. All right, I'm good. Oh, Batman and Robin's now coming out bi. Oh, okay, well, we're good, you know. So, I mean, it was just because they don't have any imagination. These sociopaths, these psychopaths, they don't have any empathy or compassion or love in what they do. They're just parasites. They need us to imagine and create this stuff, and then they just suck off of it. You know, they are the ones.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the biggest things I see is the abolishment, really, of individual rights for the collective. You know, we need to do this. You need to stay at home, even though you're healthy. We've never done that with an infectious disease. You need to stay at home if you're healthy for the collective. You know, we don't want to risk you getting sick or, and then spreading it to other people. And that's one of the lies. I just wrote a post for my Instagram feed, 1200_studies. I just wrote a post about the 10 biggest lies since the beginning of the pandemic. And that's one of them. Asymptomatic spread is really extremely rare. And I've got lots of studies on that. And by the way, my website is wellnessdoc.com, wellnessdoc.com. And in my studies, my book, ebook, my newsletter, all my mini ebooks on all these different public health disastrous responses, public health responses to this pandemic are all there for people. Lots of free information. I've got a now over 300 page document all about these vaccines. And that's a free download from my website. So people can go there and avail themselves of a lot of information. But there's just no doubt that there has been this immense pressure to undermine individual rights and freedoms for the collective. Now, doesn't that sound like Marxism to you? I mean, or communism? It's very insidious, but it's seeping into the motivation for everything here, it seems.
Well, we're going to make sure we get all these links in the show archive for today's show. Donald will make sure that gets up, but. Government, that's why the show is Declare Your Independence, you know, with Ernest Hancock. Declaration of Independence, I repeat this often, every show, I repeat this often, because I want to make sure people understand the whole purpose, the role of government was not to lock you down. The role of government was, you know, for you to be able to pursue your own happiness, you know, for, you know, it's a, the purpose of government is to protect individual rights. If it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish it. Your right, your duty. Boom. Okay, I'm in. That's the purpose of government is to secure these rights. Then they take government and they say your lockdown, your quarantine, your forced injections, you know, notions and potions from the crown into your flesh. You know, you're going to take your children. You're not doing it right. I'm going, whoa, to you. This is what we were supposed to have a government to prevent, not be the ones that are doing it.
Yes.
This started happening. It was clear to me that we were going into another BS session of 9/11. So now we have 20 years of 9/11. We got COVID-1984. I mean, you know, holy crap. So
I was going to say another thing that really was a key at the very beginning is how, you know, our public health officials, like our Surgeon General and even Anthony Fauci, made a mockery sort of the public wearing face masks, that they really don't work. You know, they're not effective against a small respiratory virus, et cetera, et cetera. And when they flipped on a dime, they flipped 180 degrees overnight. I just went, something is strange. And you know, to control the population, this, in my mind, was just another way. If you can get people to comply with that, wearing these masks, which is nonsensical. My September issue of my newsletter, I've got an article in there that has 65 different studies showing that face masks are not only harmful or not only ineffective, but harmful. You know, so I'm trying to fight back with evidence, with science. And so, you know, it's a way to get people to accept groupthink. And that's been a big part of this, I believe. If you can get the population to accept groupthink and to comply in mass, Then you've got them. You've got them. So I think the whole masking thing was all about that.
Well, that's why we did a lot of let me see your smile, you know, or mask make me feel alone or silenced or muzzled. We did a lot of signs with that just because we understood the psychological impact this was having. And we did Dr. Mikovits, her book, The Case Against Masks or something like that. And the suppression of that and your studies and your writings and everything has been so obvious that there's something else going on. And when they come out with this, you know, what did you think? What was it? Thursday, I think it was, right before 9/11. You know, we have President Biden coming out and like I even give a crap what he says. It's whatever, you know. So what's the backup? Camel Lady Harris? I mean, you know, I'm like, you know, seriously. So this is when he comes out and he goes, our patience is wearing thin. You're being bad children. We're going to send you to, you know, bed without any dinner. I mean, you know, it's just coming after you. And I'm like, wow. Do they, and they really think that that will have some impact on the way people think, but it was like a starting pistol for, you know, local. And this is one thing that we found out as we're traveling the country. And this was kind of the bias that I wanted to confirm. Is America, Americans around the country buying into this BS? Or are they just kind of complying, just get along? Yeah, whatever. I'll kind of wear it under my nose, you know, that kind of deal. Or are they really, you know, Karens and, you know, turn lawn Nazis ready to turn in somebody they had too many people at their birthday party? And of course, those people came out. They're just perfectly willing to get their stripes from whatever department of. And I didn't get the impression that rural America especially was buying into this thing. But when you would go to small grocery stores or the rural country farmer, rancher, general store, hardware with their deli and the grocery store kind of thing, you would have, say, a dozen of competitors serving a county area, and all but one or two of them are out of business now. They went after the mom-and-pa restaurants. The chains, well, they benefited. The big box, Amazon, they're good. But all the entrepreneurs, all the small community, the leadership, even the car dealerships, because it's always in any community, who's the biggest advertiser in the local newspaper? It's the car dealerships, the real estate guys, you know, the local restaurants. All these people that make up the resistance, the people that are their own bosses, and they have under 100 employees, you know, these people are the ones that were targeted. And certainly the ones that got the most disadvantaged with this thing. So I'm going, it seems like it's on purpose. And so we've been advocating decentralization down to the individual, healthcare, currencies, crypto, silver, cash, you know, you got blackmarketfridays.com, you know, to where you go and you have your own. Because we did have blackmarketfriday.info was the first day after Thanksgiving. I go, we need to do this every week. People need to know where to get their cucumbers, man. People need to know they're going to be able to feed themselves, because I've been advocating this, and I'd like to get your comment on this statement right here. This always, every single time this kind of stuff happens, comes down to food. This is going to be a food thing. Comment on that.
Well, first thing that comes to mind, I think, when you mentioned that, Ernie, is the fact that Bill Gates is buying up a ton of farmland in the United States. You know, and I believe he is one of the individuals, one of the people, corporations, people behind everything that's happening. You know, Bill Gates is obviously he hasn't been quiet about it either. You know, he pretty much puts his foot in his mouth every time he gets out there and speaks. But the fact that he's buying up so much of the small farmers' farmland and so forth tells you something. And he's a big agri guy, but he's also big with regard to GMOs and all of that too. So, you know, he's industrial farming is the way that he would like to go, rather than the small independent farms who do things the right way, right? So so I think that's a big issue. But yeah, I think, you know, one of the frightening things I think for me was when you'd walk into the grocery store and you'd see the shelves bare, And, you know, the interstate commerce was disrupted initially, you know, when they had the lockdowns and different things. And, you know, is this a preview of things to come? You know, it looked like, you know, the former Soviet Union, when people would go into the store and they'd have, you know, one choice for bread or, you know, one choice for this. There would just, you just didn't, the shelves were bare. It was crazy. I think that was sort of a telltale sign that they could control people and scare people. I think that was another element of the whole fear element, because, and just think about it, the way they propagated fear on the population. What does fear do to your immune system? It suppresses the immune system severely. So how many people had COVID and would have been like a cold or a mild flu, but they ended up in the hospital or on a ventilator or dying because they were propagandized for weeks and months. They were so fearful to even go out of their house. They were wearing masks when they did, which restrict oxygen, which further defeats the immune system, further weakens the immune system. So, you know, the whole plan, not only to strike fear into people for compliance, also really influenced people's immune systems. And in my mind, contributed to the downside and the illness and the deaths in this pandemic.
Okay, we go and make these signs. You just inspired me. You know, this is in Cholo, then we go to Sedona and we have a laser cutter that makes, you know, I want to see your
smile. Oh, nice.
The beginning is nigh. That's a new one. That's starting to come, you know. But the one thing that I just thought when you were saying that people literally dying from fear. And I'm going, what about a sign that says fear kills? How effective do you think that'd be?
I think that would be effective. And the other thing, too, that goes right along with that is hope. You know, think about elderly. Well, not just
hope
elderly
cures.
People. Well, you think about anybody who ended up in the hospital who couldn't be visited by their loved ones, anyone who is severely ill or in the long-term care facilities who couldn't even see or touch their loved ones. When you lose hope, when people lose hope and they, you know, that also is tremendously harmful and weakening to the immune system, but also just for the desire to continue to live. And so many of the responses, many of the things that were done contributed also, I believe, to people's demise, just because it caused them to lose hope. And that's such a powerful force for good or for evil, you know, depending if you have hope, it gives you that willingness to fight, to want to go on.
Well, would you have that inside? You know, it's like hope cures, fear kills, in that order. Is that going to be a Dr. Palmer contribution? Because you see, we can do, oh yeah, gun church, defeating the forces of evil. You know, it's a, you can see this is what we're doing around the country.
Great.
On the bus, 400 of these signs, you know, blanks that we're ready to do this Wednesday. And this is how we do it. It's a laser cut of wood material that we can do large ones and puzzle them together to, you know, make a bunch of different signs.
That's awesome.
And we have hundreds of yards of this material that, you know, it's like sandbag material that we do that goes on chain link that hurricane can't blow it off.
Wow. That's awesome.
We've been doing this for
I didn't know you're doing that.
And people, we just set up in a park or on a tarmac or whatever, and we just go for it. So
great.
I need, you know, more slogans and so on. I like this one. So I go fear kills, hope cures, or hope cures, fear kills. I think I'd do hope first. You know, hope cures, fear kills. What do you think? You got
it? I like it. It's a good one.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay, that's what we're going to do this way. I'll send you pictures of it. I go, Dr. Palmer said.
All right.
So this is what we've been doing. And the reason is because you can't censor a sign. And it really pisses off bad guys. They don't like it. We have a lot of creative stuff that we do, but you know, it's, but there's more to just than having a sign. It's the emotion, the curing hope of being able to say it and put it out for your neighbors, the gym that kicked you out because you won't wear a mask, the grocery store that won't let you shop, the, you know, telecommunications shop that you got to make an appointment and go into, let me see your smile. Yeah. Hey, look at me. Let me see your smile. Masks make me feel silenced, alone, enslaved. I mean, you know, so I can see this form of activism, but it's morphing. And I can see people that the biggest thing, the biggest activism now is noncompliance, because that's what they want. They need you to comply. They're going to force you to comply. They're going to coerce you to comply. They're going to make it your life the most difficult. You're not going to be able to see your family. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to, you know, it's fortunate that we have the bus, but, you know, Donna, you know, in end of October and early November or something, we were going to Virginia for a niece's wedding. And I'm going, we're not flying with masks. How you do it? You know, I mean, you gotta drive. And then they'll go, damn it. There's people like, they're being free on the freeways. Wow, there's going to be the slave ways, and you got to be on the, you know, state to state of you. And what happens? They tried this. You're in New England. You're going through New York or something. Hell, you got to quarantine for a couple of weeks to drive through. Kind of, yeah, stop me. You know,
sounds like Australia right now.
Yeah, Australia. Why do you think it is? I've interviewed people around the world, and they're looking to America to be the example. And I'm not sure we are, certainly not every state. And they're going, well, hey, you know, you guys kept your guns. I mean, is it going to be a gun thing? What do you think?
It's hard to say, but I know that our founders were wise in the fact that, you know, the Second Amendment is there for a reason. And it isn't just to protect your family from criminals. It isn't just to go out and hunt game. It is there to protect us from a tyrannical government. And so I do believe in the Second Amendment. I'm a big proponent of that. But let me just share a couple thoughts with you on that train of thought that you were talking about a minute or so ago here. You know, there are a lot of people that willingly took the shot because of the collective, because of the groupthink, because of, you know, I want to do my part to protect my neighbor. You know, these are probably well-meaning good people. You know, a lot of those people are well-meaning good people, right? They just bought into the lie and they decided, yeah, I'm going to do my part, right? Well, now what's going to happen when those people are told you're going to need a booster every 6 months? How many
of those people that's common.
That took the individual, you know, the two shots, you know, took one for the team. How many people are going to be willing to roll up your sleeve every 6 months for a booster? And I'm telling you, you know, one of the things, the data points that I have pointed out in my newsletter is Public Health England has been putting out a report. It's called SARS-CoV-2 Variants of Concern and Variants Under Investigation. They're putting that out a couple times a month since February 1st. So let me tell you, in their June 15th update, so they track the data in the UK, in their June 15th update from February 1st to June 15th, 43% of the deaths in the UK were in people that were fully vaccinated. Now, fast forward to the middle of August, so just 2 months later, that 43% is up to 64%. So in other words, we're talking about a data point that went from the 1st of February all the way to the middle of August, first the middle of June, then the middle of August. In the span of 2 months, it skewed that whole reference range 20 points, 21 points. So 64% now, those deaths are in people who are fully vaccinated. The same thing is happening in Israel. They're already talking about a fourth booster, a fourth shot over there now, because the vaccine is failing on such an epic scale. I'm just wondering when the public is going to become aware of that here in the United States, because they're doing their best to suppress that information. And when they do, how many of those people that took one for the team initially and seeing the failure of the whole program, how many of them are going to wake up and say, I was willing to do this once, but I'm not willing to do this every 6 months.
So I think that's a Bill Maher thing. You know, Bill Maher goes, hey, man, I did it. I took one for
right,
the,
you're right.
You know, yep. But I'm not doing any, this is obviously something, not that I'm a big Maher fan, you know, but I think emphasizes this line of thinking that you're talking about, you know, probably at a more notable level than most people, but it's we did it once. I'm not going to be on the perpetual roller coaster of how many freaking boosters I got to do.
Well, and Bill Maher's also been very out there about, and again, not a big fan, but boy, he does talk about individual freedoms. That's one thing I like about him in many ways, many times. He's been out there a lot about natural immunity. And why isn't the government telling us about vitamin D? You know, I'm a healthy person. You know what? Or if I've had COVID, why should I have to get a shot? You know, and that's one of the biggest, again, this just exposes an agenda when the government is hiding and lying to people about the fact that natural immunity is so much more durable and so much more robust than the vaccines. That's being proven now with countries like Israel and the UK, especially, and now in the United States. That this study that just came out of Israel, in fact, this past month, August 25th, it was a preprint that was updated, titled Comparing SARS-CoV-2 Natural Immunity to Vaccine-Induced Immunity, Reinfections versus Breakthrough Infections. And this study was 700,000 people in Israel, and they found that vaccinated people were 13 times more likely to be infected and 27 times more likely to have symptomatic infections than the people who were previously infected with COVID. This is just one of about three dozen studies that I've assembled, and one of my mini ebooks has all those studies in it, showing that that natural immunity produced by the immune system, because the virus has, they say, like 29 different proteins, all right, protein sequences. The vaccine only has the spike protein sequence. It's one protein sequence. So when you get mutations along that spike protein, which have occurred with the Delta, especially in causing the vaccine to fail, the vaccines will fail miserably. Whereas when you have had COVID, your immune system recognizes all of the proteins of the virus, all of them. So if there's little mutations here and there to the virus, even to the spike protein, it's going to recognize the capsid protein. It's going to recognize the envelope protein. It's going to recognize all these other proteins and still ramp up and destroy the virus and prevent it from infecting cells. So, you know, the fact that our government and our CDC is forcing people who have previously been infected with this illness to be vaccinated just, to me, exposes an unbelievable level of unscientific thinking at the least, and something more, you know, more intentional.
Well, I can tell you what more. Let's go look.
I'm trying to think of the word, but
devious. Okay.
Yeah.
I got the CDC coming out, you know, guns are a health threat. While they're doing COVID, it's going to kill everybody, but now we got to take everybody's guns. You know, I something has to be done, you know, after decades of near silence from the CDC, as if I need them to tell me about gun rights. You know, it's we're coming after it. And this is so blatant, you know, and I'm gobsmacked at how blatant they are about this. And here we have people looking to America. Look, man, you still got your guns. What the hell are you guys? What do you think the tolerance? I go, what am I going to do? You know, I got Biden here. His signals his intent to join the United Nations Global Gun Registration Treaty. Ooh, better now, you know. So I don't think really people understand that Americans are not about, let's go whip ass and take over Washington so we can be in charge of the marble and the monuments. I don't give a crap. You know, they go, ooh, January 6th, they're going to try and take over, you know, my gavel, says Pelosi. Who cares? You know, I'm just going, no, that's, you know, that was so manufactured or whatever. But I'm just going, nobody cares. That, you know, you guys do you, and the rest of the world is just starting to learn. And this is what I think they're so concerned about, is that the United States, small u, is a consortium of free, independent, sovereign states. That's what was supposed to be the mindset here. And now they're trying, oh, no. We rule from Washington. You know, we got the mustache and we're going to take care of business, you know. And you're doing it wrong. And gosh darn it, we're going to force you. When you have some states, and now there's 27 states that out of 50 that you have either attorney generals or governors have said, nah, we're not playing, okay? Well, that's a message to the rest of the world that, you know, America is not Biden. You know, hell, it wasn't even Trump. You know, I mean, it was, you know, and at least, you know, Trump would still try to do this national thing, old nationalism, America, and all that kind of stuff. So I was against that, too. I'm going, oh, man, I'm not going to goose step to any Washington, D.C. if I don't give a crap who you are. And so this has been a message to the rest of the world that America is different, that the whole purpose of the federal government was to secure the rights that the Declaration of Independence talked about, and they embodied that in the Bill of Rights. And he said, okay, 10 thou shalt not to the federal government. Now, there's all kinds of nuance and discussion and so on, but the basic concept of what was the American dream promise, and freaking we wrote it down, and that is in their way. They wanted, we're going to start seeing, they want to have a constitutional convention. They're going to want to refound. They're going to have a different, they're going to do it over again. And we got tanks and United Nations of all of a sudden NATO's in Norfolk naval base now. We got Chinese in Canada. And they've got all the stuff. You know, you got to get some new conspiracies because they're all coming true. You know, Alex Jones, you wimp. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to amp it up, you know? So this is, they look to America to fight what, whom? I mean, I'm just waiting for him to come up the, you know, the sidewalk or in my state, or, I mean, who are you going to attack? You know, the only thing you can do really, and you want to make them make you, that's the sign that we are, bringing, I'm going to add to, you know, hope cures, fear kills, make them make you.
One thing I'm encouraged by looking at the rest of the world is these huge demonstrations. Of course, they aren't making any media coverage, but
hell no.
Hundreds of thousands of people in Germany and in France, and huge demonstrations. We haven't seen that here in the U.S. yet, but at least that's a little bit encouraging. Now, I think the government is just kind of like, okay, you go out there and play in the street and then nothing's going to change. I don't know that that's really helping. It doesn't seem to be, but it is encouraging the fact that we are seeing people rise up and protest in other countries as well.
But I need to rise up. You know, I tell you what the rise up is. No.
Yes.
You know, we're just, no.
I mean, you're correct. I mean, you're correct.
You know, I'm just like, you know, no. Were you going to have to? No. And it's coming. We had yesterday from United Healthcare, whatever the heck it was, an employee sent me a copy of the letter that they sent out to all their employees right after like 5 o'clock on Friday, you know, a news dump, you know, so that didn't make, you know, the news. And of course we published it and put it up, and people, and it was top of the page of the most popular, because they said, yep. And when the government comes with the details and we're going to Z-Heil comply to whatever, and you're going to have to, or it's voluntary termination if you're not, whatever. And I'm wondering if in the medical community, there's going to be, and that's why I'm so adamant about, because we did this in 2009, is you got to support the first responders who say no to mandatory shots.
Yes.
What do you do? And I remember there was a lieutenant, Aaron Watada was a lieutenant out of Hawaii that refused to deploy or lead his troops into Iraq or Afghanistan or something. This is like a decade ago. And he goes, no, I'm not doing it because I'm a good officer. Because I know better. I'm not doing it. And it became the biggest news of, oh my God. And the deal they made with him, and he was articulate, good looking, reasoned, kick ass. And I know the deal was, look, we're going to put you in a dark hole forever unless you shut up, you know? So this is, there's deals to be made here. And I'm wondering who's going to be the person that won't go to the back of the bus. Who's going to be the spark that sets the revolution? What's going to be the Fort Sumter moment? You know, this is coming, and it's going to be something or someone that just says no. And it's going to be right when they don't like it. And it's coming after Biden has done this. Oh, our patience is wearing thin. So then you go, how is he going to control governors of these sovereign states? You know, how do you do that? 14th Amendment. They're going to go insurrection. They're going to say, you are an insurrection against the edicts of your presidente, and we're going to start arresting and doing. And so I'm like, bring it. And they want to, because they believe their own bullshit, you know, they can't not. They've been so wrapped up in their, you know, their echo chamber of the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates and friends, and, you know, Fauci, you know, had done this before with the AIDS epidemic. You know, this is just a rehash. And what happened? The internet, people being able to communicate. So what do they do? They deplatform, they demonetize, they de-everything. They're going after that too. So I'm going, okay, so then we focus on interplanetary file system and where you can't delete. Well, then they go after that. When we put a pandemic on IPFS, so people had the seed file because they kept whack-a-mole in it. You know, I said, watch this. Here, watch this. So what we did is we go, all right, we're going to put this up where they can't censor it. Then what? Well, I don't know, but it got downloaded a billion times. A billion, you know? So I'm going, what do you do now? Watch. Plandemic. IPFS. Boom. Yes, I do. Permanently archived.
There it is. Pirates of the Borders.
And, you know, and this is on our pirate channel. And, you know, and there's the link to it, you know, and it'll play. And this is, they can't, but what they've done is because this IPFS.io is a gateway. You know, it's on the DNS servers to where they can slow that down. So you have to have the IPFS desktop that goes straight to it so they can't delete it.
Okay.
So this is, you know, well, I mean, it'll load here eventually, but they're slowing it down. And normally this was faster than the World Wide Web. It would just go boom, you know, and play. So I am just, I can see the game that they're playing. This is going to be an internet thing. You do Plandemic, IPFS, and it'll come up. Or you go on Freems Phoenix, you know, and do it, and it'll go. See, there it starts playing. Normally, it's immediate. Now that people had access to that file, then they could take it and start seeding it across the planet in that link, and it just go, and people had the download that they could upload to everything. So I can see, and the more it's accessed, the faster it goes. So then we started seeing that they came out, oh, it's a copyright thing, or we don't have, and they're putting up child pornography or whatever on this IPFS. We got to get after the gateway, the IPFS.io, to where with the app, you just go straight to the files of, you know, have over a million, you know, nodes of people that are serving this. And, you know, we do the same thing with your books and all that kind of stuff. We have that up there. So this is, I can see what's happening. This is going to be an attack on communication of information like what you have. And how are you going to make it to where it's available? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging for sure. Obviously, there's folks like you that are beating the system, you know, gaming the system and figuring out other ways to do that. And that might be one of the blessings in disguise of all the censorship, is there's a lot of different platforms that are popping up everywhere that are giving people who want freedom of information, who want people to have to be able to discuss in the public square, you know, to debate in the public square about things uncensored. So that's going to draw a lot of people away from your Facebooks, your Twitters, your YouTubes, and some of those channels to these independent channels. So that might actually work out to be a good thing in the long run. One thing I would like to just share before we leave today is a little bit about, if I can, just touch on the approval of the Pfizer vaccine, if I might.
Please.
So, yeah, this is something that really, you know, I put in my newsletter last month, because it's something that I think is just, people should be aware of, you know, how things tend to work. And I think it's just one of the more scandalous things that the FDA has ever done. And that's saying something, really, for sure. There's an associate editor of the British Medical Journal. His name is Dr. Peter Doshi. And he's a science guy. He's associate editor of the British Medical Journal, one of the top journals in the world, who wrote an article and criticizing it's called on August 23rd. He wrote this article. It says, Does the FDA think these data justify the first full approval of a COVID-19 vaccine? One of the things he exposed in there is that the data that the FDA relied on only went up to March 13th. Now think about that. They approved that on August 23rd, but they only used data that went up to March 13th. Now, why might that be? The Pfizer only provided the data up to that point and they still approved it. Well, think about when Delta came in. The Delta virus, really the variant, came in May, started to show up here in May, and has been ramping up ever since and is now responsible for close to 100% of all the COVID cases. They say, okay, now I know they're not doing the genome testing on everybody, but they say that it's 100% of the cases. So the Delta variant is the one that has really escaped this vaccine. So they basically had a cutoff of the data before Delta even showed up and approved a vaccine that is designed for the original virus, okay, for the spike protein from the Wuhan virus. So it isn't even effective for the variant of that virus. That
oh, hell, it's producing the variant. This is,
and that's the other thing. You're absolutely right. I believe, as do a lot of scientists, a lot of experts, and including Geert Vandenbosch, who was a vaccine developer for Gavi, you know, the big international organization promoting vaccines that Bill Gates and the World Health Organization are behind. He worked for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And if, you know, I could, again, I'll give you another link to put up for your viewers, because if you go and read some of the warnings that Dr. Vandenbosch is giving the world and the World Health Organization, he is basically pleading with them to stop what they're doing with the vaccine programs, because it's his sincere belief and contention that what these vaccines, these leaky vaccines being given in the middle of a pandemic like this, are causing the viruses to mutate into more virulent, more infectious, and potentially more virulent forms, which means they could be more lethal and deadly, especially to people who are vaccinated. And again, we're seeing the trends in that in the different countries that are ahead of us, and we're starting to see that trend.
It's like it was on purpose.
Yeah, so the point is, the vaccine they approved isn't even the vaccine that was, isn't even effective at all for the virus that was here when they stopped looking at the data. The other thing is that they completely ignored the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which at the point of approval of vaccines showed over 13,000 deaths, which is more deaths than all of the vaccines combined in 30 years, way more. And they have not even considered that information or the more than 600,000 reported adverse reactions or the almost 50,000 hospitalizations from the vaccines that have occurred. So they've ignored all of that data. And there's many other things that he pointed out, but I wanted to bring that to everybody's attention just to show how corrupted things are to approve this vaccine that isn't, that we're not even dealing with the same virus, the same original form of the virus that the vaccine was designed to quote unquote protect against symptoms of.
You know, one thing that I wanted to share here, because it's so, you know, obvious what's going on. And there's Rob Braxman is a IT guy that, you know, does a lot of stuff. We have it up on Freedom's Phoenix, but it's Proton Mail, IPs, Q&A. The bottom line, what he's saying is that all these secret, you're not surveilled email services and so on. Of course they are. You know, of course, you think you're not being tracked and, you know, and then you have all of this COVID tracing of I totally agree on my Google, whatever, Apple, you know, pushed a button. I want to, you know, watch videos kind of, you know, whatever the hell is going on. You know, this is dystopian freaking B sci-fi movie crap, you know? And what is your only power that you have as an individual. Just say no. And, you know, just take it. Whatever, man. It's going to be a food thing. You know, go get stocked up on, you know, how much toilet paper you think you're going to need. But, you know, this is going to be a food thing. And I want to make sure people understand that. This is going to be the power that you have for you and your family is put yourself in a position to not comply. Oh, but I have to because, yeah, I go, once you get on that roller coaster, you're not going to get off. This is going to be booster, booster, booster. And it's like, you know, last I heard Canada was saying 7 booster shots to be considered fully vaccinated, you know, and Fauci's going to up that. Oh, yeah, well, we're 8-minute abs. I mean, you know, whatever. This is going to keep getting worse.
Well, they're talking about combining a flu shot with the COVID shot. They're talking about, and here, that's a point I'd like to make to your viewers is, our government, the CDC sponsored, the NIH, I should say, sponsored a study that was done with military personnel. And this study was published in January of 2020, just before this virus was exposed to the world, in the journal Vaccine, which is one of the top premier vaccine journals in the world. And in that study, they found that the service personnel who got the flu shot were 36% more likely to get a coronavirus infection later. There is this phenomenon called viral interference, where you give a vaccine for a certain type of virus, it will interfere with the body's ability to fight off certain other viruses. So basically, and this is a well-established, you know, scientific phenomenon that's well-published in the past. So they found out that if you get the flu shot, you're 36% more likely to catch a coronavirus infection. So think about that. Think about all the nursing homes and the long-term care facilities where 100% of those residents are mandated flu shots. So everyone gets a flu shot. Now, here comes COVID. Here comes a coronavirus. What's going to happen? They're going to be much more likely to catch that coronavirus.
Okay, now I want to ask you on this point. My mother's in a home. They made her do it. Everybody, you know, got sick around her or whatever. She had to go and isolate. They do all their crap. And I'm like, okay, she had, you know, she needs the help because she had one leg amputated from a, you know, botched knee surgery or whatever. And, so my mother is in a precarious situation on this. And I'm, you know, can you not take these shots because they're setting you up for death? This is a prelude. All of this has been the flu shots year after year after year, setting it up for the kill shot. And they'll go, oh, is this the kill shot, not the kill shot? It's all part of a plan. To think they don't have a plan is to be naive. To think they don't know more than they're telling you is to be uninformed or just stupid or willful ignorance or whatever. You know, it is of course. They're looking, these very people that we've been talking about, and I got to promote, and I'll put up in the show notes, James Corbett's Who is Bill Gates and all this other stuff, that, you know, fantastic documentary of the mindset of these people. They want to kill you.
Well, and you're right, Ernie, and this is something I had an aha moment fairly recently, and something that you brought up just reminded me of that, and I want to mention it because I'm going to talk about it in my newsletter this month. But these are smart people we're dealing with. They're not dumb. These people who are create these vaccines, who create these vaccine programs, these are people who they know what they're doing. So think about what we just talked about, that the vaccines are driving the mutations. So what does that do? It drives these mutations that are more dangerous and more infectious. So now we got to come up with a new vaccine for those mutations that will fight those mutations, because the one we got isn't working anymore. Now we've got another variant. What does that sound like? It sounds like the flu season. Every year they try to project or predict what strains of the flu are going to be, you know, the most popular or, you know, the most evident that next season. And they put 2 or 3 or 4 different antigens in the vaccine for those strains that they predict. But again, because the flu vaccine doesn't necessarily stop infection or transmission, and they're guessing at which virus is going to be there next year, it's a very ineffective vaccine. And I've got all that in my ebook. It's very ineffective. So literally what the flu shot is doing every year, it's promoting or driving additional variants So the next year, then they can create a new concoction. They've been doing this for years and years and years. It's the same
and
playbook
cheaply.
We're doing with COVID now. It's
and
the
cheaply. They, you know, they're going to give you the free shot, and it's subsidized of Walgreens, love you long time. Are we going to come in there setting you? Ooh, it's free. The crown.
That's what Biden said in his address. He said, oh, and it's free. We're making it as easy as possible for
of
you.
Of course they are.
We're going to give you a Big Mac. We're going to give you some pot. We're going to give you a free car. We're going to enter you in a lottery. We're going to buy your way into getting this vaccine any way we can possibly do it. It's.
They almost had me at Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I saw they were giving out free weed in New York. Just, I'm like, really?
I mean, can't make this stuff up.
You know, weed and donuts. I mean, this is getting put them at the corner. I just like, this is so. and I don't know anything other than. We can share as much as we can, but it's going to come down to noncompliance, and it's going to come down to people in the medical industry. And we got to give big props to Dr. Palmer before we go, because he saw this coming a long time ago when it was inconvenient to your practice to have this. And you were, a physician to the sports stars, here in the Valley. I mean, we're talking the big franchises of whatever. And so he's kind of like, yeah, I can't really emphasize that and toot my horn on that one too much. I'll lose those clients. But I'm glad that you're out a little bit more free now, that you can express yourself, and you've already had access to these reports, and you put them in an ebook. We've been promoting them. We'll put everything into the show notes for today. But I'm pretty confident. Way before, I could see it in 2009 that this was the mechanism they were going to use, because we could see how they were going to do it. They were doing it at the sobriety checkpoints. The sobriety checkpoints, they gave themselves authority to force medical treatment on you and put you in extreme DUI of you had too much to drink of whatever, and we're going to make you in the bed and strap you down and take and do it. I'm going, oh, and we found the pandemic plan that they had back in 2009, that's how they were going to get compliance. Sooner or later, it's going to be checkpoints. And when they do the checkpoints, you wonder, why is all the suicide bombing and the resistance and the rubber meets the road at these checkpoints? Because that's where all the tyranny is manifested. Has been forever and always the travel restrictions of you're not freaking allowed. And the right to travel and everything is an American thing. That's going to be one of the last things they do. They already got the airlines. They're already doing the buses. They're already doing the trains. They're already doing... What happened in your private car? Oh, you're on the King's Road. This is going to come down to whether you comply or not. And you have to not comply. And who do we need to support? The front line, the first responders. If a police officer is made to take the shot, how much you think he's going to fall on a sword to prevent, or support your right to not take a shot? So you have to support these people. And in the medical industry, especially when these nurses and doctors sit there and watch it, the people flooding in are the ones that got vaxxed. So this is so obvious. And I think that the bad guys are desperate. They're starting to, I smell desperation on their breath. And here they come. And I'm just, the only option we have is to peacefully just say no. And you be nice until it's time not to be nice. And they will not, with my cooperation, force an injection into my flesh or those of my loved ones that don't want to. Papa's there. Okay. So I just sense this is where it's going. So they're going to make it inconvenient. They're going to make it, death defying for you to resist. And it's going to be a food thing, in my opinion. So final comments and give out web pages and stuff, Dr. Palmer, and we'll have another great show with you. Thank you. So go ahead and give out, promote yourself, man.
Boy, thank you so much. I just appreciate the opportunity to be here. And that's really what I'm all about, is I've really dedicated my life now to just informing people and educating people about these matters, because it's just so important right now, especially in the era of censorship. you know, really it's going to come down to grassroots. I mean, you know, we can't share a lot of things on the internet, or our posts don't go far, whatever it is that they're doing with their algorithms, but it's really going to come down to talking to other people, sharing with your neighbors, emailing, as long as we got email. They talked about censoring your private texts here not too long ago, text messaging. So we really have to get active. And you know, think about our country's independence. It was a ragtag group of militants, you know, really that secured the independence for the United States of America against arguably the biggest military machine of their day, you know, the British. And so, you know, we can win this thing, but it is going to take everybody getting involved and sharing information and showing up at these different meetings, you know, these health freedom advocacy groups and meetings and supporting them. It is just going to take a grassroots effort. And so I'm just hoping that my information can help to provide those people with the evidence that will help convince people that are on the fence or people that really want to look at evidence-based truth. One other thing I just want to mention, and then I'll stop, but I have another free document on my website. When you go to my website, there's a menu at the top, and it's the health topics menu. And if you hover your cursor over that, there will be a drop down that says basically the risk versus reward of the COVID vaccines for children. This is something that is really on my heart right now, the way they're going after kids with these vaccines. I think it's, in my mind, it's criminal.
What's the title of it? When it drops down, what's it
called? Yeah, so it's risk versus reward of the COVID vaccines for children. So I have a nice, you know, concise document there that has some really great science and links in it that show that COVID is, especially for healthy children, COVID is just so low risk. It's far lower risk for healthy children than the seasonal flu. And the vaccines, it talks about the different risks of the vaccines, not just the short term, but the potential long term risk. Not me saying this, but top experts and scientists that are trying to really get the word out and blow the whistle on some of their concerns with.
Okay, I got it. Before you go, I just need you to say it. You know, say it. You know, I just want you to say it. What is it that we're up against? You know, who? I mean, is it freaking pointy horn, pointy teeth, dripping fang, blood, pointy tail people? I mean, is it, you know, just, you know, people that are looking for control and power? Is there a cabal of something? How many? Is it a philosophy? Is it, could it be Satan? I mean, you know, what are we up against?
Yes, 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 and yes. I think it's evil. I think there is an evil agenda. I do believe, I'm a Christian. I believe, you know, if you read Ephesians 6 and you talk about Paul's warning to the Ephesians about the spiritual battle, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against the dark forces of evil. You know, there's a spiritual battle going on right now. I feel that, and I feel it, and I believe it with my whole heart. This is a spiritual battle going on. It's much more than money. It's much more than power. It is a spiritual battle. And that's what it boils down to for me is the realization that in my mind that that's what it is.
Noncompliance is a choice to not take the mark of the beast. This is what they've been talking about. And they're so worried about, well, it's on your forehand or back of your hand, or they're going to put a chip in, whatever. I can smell crap. You know, I don't have to be that close to be able to tell, man, this is it. You know, I remember last March when we had our party that we were going on the trip, and we had a goodbye party and everything. And I didn't really realize it was right after they locked down that day. It was March 21st. And they had just like the day before, oh, we're locked down. And a lot of people came. Some people didn't. They're like, oh, the government said I shouldn't, you know, if you had yesterday, it would have been okay. But I mean, yeah. I'm going to die, you know. So I'm just like, whatever. I don't want you to come anyway. You're going to be like that. So it was a popular party. And a lot of people that have been friends for a long time, business owners and so on, doctors, dentists, lawyers, you know, kind of. And it was amazing that they didn't bring their families or their spouses. It was a lot of, you know, men, friends of mine. And towards the end of the night, it became obvious what was going on. They go, and we started gathering around, you know, and kind of talking what's up. And they go, all that stuff you've been saying all these years, is this it? Is this it? And I'm going, yeah, this is it. Now, a lot of them wanted to do, well, I can take this loan or get my PP, whatever the hell it is, you know, stimulus of I can drag me. I go, man, don't go. If you got enough resources now, well, I got to take care of my employees. I got, you know, I mean, they had a lot of things to consider because they hadn't been paying attention. And when all of this thing, you know, came to manifest itself, they're going, kind of sounds like all the stuff Ernie's been, you know, screaming about for decades, decades, you know, and I never said, this is it. This is it. This is it. I'm going, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. It's more, one more, you know, brick in the wall. I go, yep, I'm willing to say this is the battle. Don't sit here and tell me you're my Christian brother and you don't see that you have a choice. You're going to choose evil. You're going to try and negotiate with the devil. You dance with the devil. You don't change him. Okay. I'm like, nope, that ain't happening. This is it. And the best way to be able to keep your mind clear and that you can actually even make a rational decision is to have food and water, you know, to be able to, you know, not watch your children go hungry kind of thing, or you be hungry yourself, bow, bow, bow. So I'm just going, this is the battle. And the choice that you're going to make is a biblical one. This, I mean, whether you believe in the Bible, God or not, man, this is what, as a historical document or whatever, this is what they were talking about. It's when they, them, those that won't leave you alone, and the all-powerful, whatever, you know, comply or die, and you got to make a decision. Because once you get on that train, you ain't getting off. And when do you resist? Let me tell you when. It's before the cattle car door closes. It's before that. So how you want to resist? The best, easiest, most non-calorie requiring, say no, okay? You just go, no, I'm good. You know, that's all you got to do. And if you can't do that, if you've been programmed, if you've been social media into compliance, you know, of being the servant of the beast, well, you know, I can't help you. And it used to be that we worked decades, my wife and I, since the late 80s, on how many minds we could free. Well, now it's how many asses we could save. And I can't do it for you. So, Dr. Palmer, thank you for all the information supplied. And I think, is there anything you disagree with that I just said?
No, nothing. I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, they'll only be able to take as much as we give them. That's the way it is. You know, I mean, as much ground as we're willing to give up, that's the ground they're going to take. So I agree. There has to be, you know, a peaceful insurrection, basically, just people, non-compliance. I will not comply. That has to be the mindset.
Yeah, to stand up for things. Sometimes you just got to sit down. I'm good. You know, you got to make them make you. And hope cures, fear kills.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, brother. I am just, I get filled with, you know, they're going to make us do it. You're going to make me do it. You just make me do it. You know, you do what? Make them make you. Make you what? I don't know. But they're going to make me. Doctor.
I always love talking to you.
Dr. Alan Palmer, man. We're in it together. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate archive you. To you quickly. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you so much. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.